A 5-year-old spills juice at breakfast. One parent sighs, "You're so clumsy. Can't you ever be careful?" Another simply says, "The juice spilled. Here's a sponge." Same situation, radically different outcomes. The first child internalizes a damaging label that may shape their self-image for decades. The second learns that mistakes are manageable events, not character flaws. This distinction lies at the heart of transforming parent-child relationships. We speak to children dozens of times daily, yet rarely consider how our words land in their developing minds. Children are like wet cement. Every word leaves an impression. When labeled stupid or lazy, they don't think, "My parent is having a bad day." They think, "This must be who I am." Then they adjust their behavior accordingly, fulfilling the prophecy we've inadvertently created. The child called clumsy avoids sports. The one called stupid stops trying academically, adopting the motto, "If I don't try, I can't fail." Our everyday language, used carelessly, becomes the architecture of their inner world. "Will you be home tonight?" isn't about your schedule. It's asking, "Will I be safe? Will I be alone with my fears?" When kindergartner Nancy asked about broken toys on her first school day, she wasn't worried about blame, but seeking reassurance about this unfamiliar place. We've all experienced maddening exchanges. "Where did you go?" "Out." "What did you do?" "Nothing." Children shut down because they sense the lecture coming. 8-year-old David captured it perfectly. "When I ask you a small question, why do you give me such a long answer?" Most parent-child conversations become two disconnected monologues, one filled with criticism and instructions, the other with denials and pleading. Consider 9-year-old Eric, disappointed about a rained-out picnic. Instead of saying, "It's not the end of the world," his father simply acknowledged, "You seem very disappointed." This validation allowed Eric to process his emotions and move forward. Just as children discover their physical appearance through mirrors, they learn who they are emotionally when their feelings are accurately reflected back. Emotional mirroring, "It looks like you're really angry," or "You seem frustrated," helps children understand their emotional landscape. Emotional health requires recognizing what we feel before we can choose how to express it. Evaluative praise creates anxiety and dependency. When Ivan's mother praised him as such a good boy during a quiet car ride, he immediately dumped an ashtray everywhere. He'd been fantasizing about getting rid of his baby brother. The praise felt undeserved and triggered overwhelming guilt. Research confirms this. Children praised for being smart avoid challenges, while those praised for effort persist. Effective praise describes what we see, letting children draw their own conclusions. When Kenny helped move heavy furniture, his father commented on the task's difficulty rather than calling Kenny strong, allowing Kenny to reach that conclusion himself. Criticism demands equal care. When 8-year-old Mary spilled juice, her mother simply said, "I see the juice spilled. Let's get another glass and a sponge." No cutting comments. Deal with the event, not the person. Children internalize negative labels like clumsy or stupid and adjust their behavior to match. When children make negative self-statements like "I'm stupid," direct contradiction rarely helps. Instead, show deep understanding. "You must be afraid you'll fail. When the teacher calls on you, you get confused." This plants seeds of doubt about their negative self-image. Many suppress anger until they explode, believing it's inherently bad. Emotionally healthy parents recognize anger as valuable information about needs and boundaries. When Jane lost her baseball shirt, her mother expressed anger without insults. "I'm angry. I've bought you 6 baseball shirts, and they're either mislaid or lost. Your shirts belong in your dresser." This approach brings relief to the parent, insight to the child, and no harmful side effects. The process? Identify the feeling, express it with appropriate intensity, and state the reason. When children themselves are upset, they respond to emotional understanding, not reasoning. When Billy complained that his sister knocked over his fort, his mother simply said, "Oh, that must have made you very angry." This validation diffused his anger immediately. The alternative, becoming judge and enforcer, creates power struggles nobody wins. Respect flows both directions, and anger expressed respectfully preserves relationships while maintaining boundaries. Wise parents acknowledge children's mixed feelings. You seem to feel two ways about your teacher. You like her and dislike her. This validation teaches a sophisticated truth. Love coexists with frustration, admiration with envy, devotion with occasional hostility. Forced chores create obedience, not responsibility. True responsibility grows from within, nourished by values absorbed through respectful relationships. Genuine responsibility springs from deeper values, reverence for life, compassion, and caring. These cannot be taught directly, but are absorbed through identification with people children love and respect. Children who always follow orders without making choices may still make irresponsible decisions as adults because they've never developed internal guidance. Parents cannot win the war over chores. Children have more ammunition. Instead, build relationships by understanding their perspective. Distinguish between matters where children have a voice, input but not final decision, versus a choice, full decision-making power. Even young children can make choices. A 2-year-old deciding between half or full glass of milk, a 4-year-old choosing between half or whole apple. This approach conveys that children have agency over their affairs. Responsibility develops slowly through daily practice in exercising judgment. When parents recognize and reflect their children's positive qualities, they help them develop healthy self-awareness and the confidence to make responsible choices. Effective discipline follows one principle. Above all, do no harm. Punishment generates rage that prevents learning and fosters revenge fantasies. Modern parents hesitate because we understand the costly consequences of unhappy childhoods. The cornerstone of discipline is distinguishing between wishes, feelings, and acts. We set limits on acts, but don't restrict feelings or wishes. When discipline problems arise, sometimes identifying feelings clears the air. Other times, limits must be firmly set while still respecting the child's impulses. Permissiveness means accepting the childishness of children, that clean shirts won't stay clean, that running is their normal locomotion. Children have a constitutional right to all kinds of feelings and wishes. They aren't responsible for their feelings, but for their behavior. Children need clear boundaries for security. Behavior falls into 3 areas: wanted and sanctioned, not sanctioned but tolerated for specific reasons, and conduct that cannot be tolerated. Behavior endangering family welfare or violating laws and ethics. Being prohibitive in the 3rd area is as important as being permissive in the 1st. Certain patterns almost always fail. Threats invite repetition, bribes teach children to misbehave for payment, and sarcasm attacks rather than guides. The goal isn't perfect obedience. It's raising decent human beings with compassion, commitment, and caring. Children absorb our values through daily interactions more than formal lessons. This approach is strict with misbehavior, but permissive with feelings. All emotions are acceptable. Children cannot help how they feel, but they are responsible for how and when they express emotions. Effective parenting begins with empathic listening, hearing the feelings behind words, and understanding their perspective. Never deny children's perceptions, dispute their feelings, disown their wishes, deride their tastes, denigrate their opinions, or derogate their character. Replace criticism with guidance by stating problems and solutions without negative personal comments. When siblings experience jealousy, acknowledge the difficulty rather than expecting unrealistic harmony. Children don't need equal shares of love. They need to be loved uniquely. Every interaction is an opportunity to see and honor the unique human being before us. Your words today become their inner voice tomorrow.